You're listening to a Catholic news podcast from the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. Why not use iTunes to subscribe to our podcast? Simply search for Catholic News in the iStore.
Today I'm with Gavin da Costa, Professor of Catholic Theology at Bristol University. Gavin, welcome and thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
We are hearing a lot about the Year of Mercy at the moment, and I was wondering whether you could just say a little bit of what that actually means, Year of Mercy.
Yeah, well, I think it's a great choice by Pope Francis, because the word mercy and the whole idea of mercy is not something actually very lively for us Catholics, and it makes us suddenly think about something again and how it should be part of our lives. And the Pope gives a wonderfully brief definition of it, which is, to see the face of mercy, we must look at the face of Jesus. That's it. Look at the life of Jesus. And he gives one great example of how we might think about it, and he points to the parable that Jesus tells of the prodigal son and that return back to the Father and that sense of being greeted and embraced despite having gone really far off the tracks.
Being able to be accepted back with our failings.
Yes.
Another thing that I've heard a lot about recently, the Pope has asked us to pray for interreligious dialogue, that we get the fruits of justice and peace from it, which obviously I'm very pleased about. And it just follows on the beginning from the beginning of the Year of Mercy quite quickly. So I was wondering whether you can see a connection between the two at all.
Yes, well, I think there's a sense in which primarily mercy happens in our relationship to God. And when we discover that mercy, we are transformed, or should be. I mean, that's the big challenge. And that transformation then leads outwards, not just within the community of the church. And in that sense, I think Pope Francis designating that as the kind of intention of prayer is really important, because actually mercy is about relating to each and every person. It's not just for the church's life within the church, but for its relationships with all people.
So what do you think mercy then means in interreligious dialogue? How do you see mercy at work in interreligious dialogue?
Yeah, well, I think there's sort of three dimensions that would be worth just thinking about. The first is, and this is a bit of a shock, really, I think we should consider in the light of the mercy we ask from God, we should consider the kind of mercy and forgiveness that we might require from people from other religions. And if I just give you a brief example, there's a very famous statement with Rabbi Heschel, a famous Jewish American rabbi, who just in the 60s, he was in Auschwitz and his family was murdered there. And he made this statement that he would rather go back to Auschwitz than convert to Christianity. And what he was getting at was that for him, the association of Christian attitudes to the Jews was like being murdered. Right. We could look at many cultures and religions, and there are some horrible stories. And in one sense, I think we need to think about the mercy that we should ask, the forgiveness we should ask for, if you like, the history of Christian attitudes. And of course, they're very complicated and they're not all negative, but that must be faced, first point.
And of other religions that we have wronged,
Absolutely.
And what do you think, what are other dimensions? You mentioned three points.
So I think the second point after that moment of soul searching, which is important, and that's what the prodigal son does. He has that sense of really his failing. So then the second one is a very positive one. How can we be merciful in the context of giving witness to other religions. So when Pope Francis says to look at mercy, we should look at the face of Jesus, I think the big question is, how do we represent the merciful face of Jesus in our witness?
To others.
Yes, to other religions. And we mustn't see this as a kind of thing that we should be ashamed of or embarrassed, because it's basically good news. Mm-hmm. But often it hasn't been, first point. For example, if we think about the history of Christianity, there is this huge emphasis on providing schools and hospitals, looking after the body, looking after the mind, and looking after the spirit. So mercifully, it seems to me Pope Francis's idea of each church having to take in refugees currently is to practice mercy. And in one sense, it's interesting because a lot of the refugees, asylum seekers, are from Muslim backgrounds.
Yeah.
And this is a delicate situation. One can't exploit it. But at the same time, it is a way of thinking what Christian witness is.
Well, and I suppose that thinking might lead us on also to consider a third dimension of the Year of Mercy. If we look at other religions, would you think it's useful for a Catholic to look at other religions and their teachings and their acts of mercy in this Year of Mercy as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's vital. So, the third aspect would be that. What can we learn about the quality of mercy when we engage with another religion? And I mean, take, for example, Islam, where God is merciful and compassionate. And each chapter of the Quran begins with this characteristic, bar one, of the compassionate and merciful. So I think, that question, gosh, we're in a year of mercy. Let's ask and learn from what mercy means in Islam. It's a big theme. But I was telling a friend that I was coming here to talk about mercy, who was a Buddhist friend. And their reaction was, we believe in compassion. And I was saying, well, is compassion mercy? What exactly is it? So there is, within each religion, perhaps, some kind of theme that we would and could explore through personal friendships, talking to people, and most importantly, in practices, so that we see currently Pope Francis, after he visited Israel and Palestine, emphasized the importance of Jews, Muslims, and Catholics acting together, both for justice and mercy. So it's not just about conversations and theories. It's about coming together and learning what it might be to represent mercy in a wider society.
And I think we know some lovely examples of shared works of mercy as well, don't we? I know, for example, that the Finsbury Park Mosque have Catholic volunteers for feeding the homeless. We know that CAFOD works with Islamic Relief in relieving people and acts of corporate mercy, we'd call them. And that all sounds very lovely and harmonious when I say it like that. But then my suspicion is that some Catholics will still have the phrase no salvation outside the church echoing through their heads. How do you think that fits in with a merciful approach, with a Year of Mercy?
Yes, well, that's a great question. And I think, in a way, it's part of our tradition, this teaching no salvation outside the church. And if we look at that teaching, it has... its concern is to say, positively, salvation comes from Jesus Christ. Okay. Negatively, it said, no salvation outside the church. So I think if we think about the Year of Mercy, the positive element is that God never abandons any single human being, regardless of what religion or even non-religion they are in. And we have to remember this very profound Catholic teaching that if a person isn't in a religion, they still are in contact with God through their conscience. Through the voice of the conscience, there is a sense in which we are called, each human being, to to answer to that voice of truth. So in a sense, I think the Year of Mercy could be also in this respect seen as how God is working through each and every person's conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be a bit slow to judge.
Mm-hmm.
So we may know, for example, there were the communists who resisted in Nazi Germany,
mm-hmm.
the power of Hitler,
mm-hmm.
and there were Christians who actually supported Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a kind of clean thing, oh, you know, here are Christians, mm-hmm. they're the goodies, and mm-hmm. here are non-religious people, they're the baddies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that power of the voice of God in each person's heart and in conscience. So no salvation outside the church can have a positive meaning that God in Christ never abandons anyone. The question of who is saved and who is not is absolutely up to God
mm-hmm.
and not to us.
I think the power of the voice of God in your own soul, that's a lovely note to finish on for the Year of Mercy, an opportunity to explore that within our own lives and that of others. Thank you very much.
Thank you.